Hello, one and all, and welcome to the 246th episode of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast. Coming to you on March 4th, 2024. We are approaching spring. And a man on that approach is Andrew Clark. Andrew, what's your springtime activities? You work in the fields? You picking the flowers? You taking all the antihistamines to deal with the... What even are histamines?
What's a histamine?
Yeah.
You only know what an anti is.
Well, I'm going to do a quick...
Is it like ragweed and shit? Like it's like the basic things that we're all allergic to that comes out in like the spring.
Oh, a histamine is a chemical found in the body cells that is released when allergens enter the body.
Ah,
it's what causes the allergic response.
Yeah, it's what the body releases when it thinks it's being invaded by, you know, a virus, and it's actually just dander from your cat or something.
Right. Okay.
So that's funny that the medication doesn't actually like block your body from receiving the allergen. It just says like, "Yo, body, chill. They're cool. They're cool. They're with me. Like, don't worry about it."
Yeah, be basically. Stressing. In the springtime, I'm, I'm fucking a lot. I'm rooting. I'm fighting with the other males.
Establish dominance.
Yeah, you know, to get my pack, my harem, if you will, in line. I'm praying to the moon. And frolicking through the fields with a crown of sunflowers in the nude.
My boy's frolicking.
I don't know.
Here?
I'm just what's a springtime activity? I'm cleaning my apartment. Let's be honest.
Okay.
Like my apartment is like, you know, getting slightly tidier. That's my springtime activity. Going for more walks as the weather heats up.
I feel like springtime is when a lot of the New Year's resolutions are the chaff is separated from the wheat. Like it's all right, we're a quarter of the way into the year. Time to figure out what we're actually, which of these are actually important.
Yeah, the gyms are definitely a lot less busy right now.
Yeah, no shock. But then you get the spring reprieve on some of that stuff.
Yeah. I love that your examples, Lucas, when you first introduced the topic, were like hyper-masculine, are you working the fields? And then like hyper-feminine, are you picking the flowers?
Homie, you toiling out here?
Yeah.
You toiling?
There's two types of people in this world. Those that work the fields and those that pick the flowers.
The toilers and the toilees.
Yeah. We have a two good economy set up here. One is corn and grain, and the other is flowers.
Yeah, no,
and,
I mean,
and art made with flowers.
the two genders are sowers and pickers.
Yeah, I will exchange you 1 pound of corn for that artwork of flowers, because we both know that you can't go without food or beauty.
No,
those are equally valid.
Food for the tum, food for the soul. Come on. Yeah.
This is STEM versus humanities right here. They're both necessary, 100%.
I mean, like, I don't want to validate stereotypes, but spring coming up around here. Actually, I could probably do that this weekend, but I'm going to wait a little bit. Discussions in my household of replanting the flower boxes we have on our balcony. The garden boxes, I should say. And I'm putting vegetables. I'm putting herbs and shit in mine. And my partner, Maria, yeah, let's do flowers. Let's get flowers in there. So there is a, you know?
Lucas is like, no, you don't understand. We need to tithe for the hard winter ahead in 8 months. Winter is coming.
Yeah.
And Maria's like, I don't know. I want it to look pretty.
I just kind of want to be one of those guys who can be like, oh, wow, making a steak. Yeah, I'll just put a little bit of fresh rosemary on that from the herb garden. You know, to get out there.
That's good shit. Get some brown butter, some garlic, some rosemary.
Oh boy, you know what? Having a little get together. Maybe I'll pick some fresh cilantro for this salsa I'll be making for this dinner party. Yeah.
You live in LA. There's a grocery store every four blocks. You can get fresh all of that for cheaper than it would cost to maintain an herb garden. Like, I get why it's cool and why it feels nice, like the same way it feels nice to have any plant, but I don't know, man. That's effort.
I actually have a gripe with the quantities that grocery stores sell some of these items in. Because you can't just get like enough parsley or enough cilantro for the thing you're making.
Yeah.
You got to get it in like a fistful, which is like
Oh, yeah.
four meals worth. And like I'm not cooking like that. I'm not structuring my meals for the week around an ancillary ingredient. Like then it goes bad on me, and I hate that.
Because they're weeds. They're selling you weeds. Like they're ch so cheap. It's like 99 cents for a massive bunch of cilantro. Like it's they intend you to just throw it out. They're giving you bonus. Like they're like, yeah, we could sell you a usable single serving of cilantro,
And they
but that
would
would
charge the
cost,
same
yeah,
price,
that would cost
like
the same to us as giving you just a fucking bushel. And if you don't use it, I don't care. Like toss it. Does not matter to me.
And speaking of weed, following up on a conversation from our poker game last night, Ryan Holtz is here to give us his Shark Tank pitch on a new chain of marijuana dispensaries that only deals in spliffs.
Yeah,
Ryan.
this is the spliff industry. You've heard
Yeah.
of beef, it's what's for dinner. You've seen the Got Milk mustache campaigns. Spliffs are just they're a way of life, you know. Like we there's sure there's many providers, you know, we have many firms that make up the spliff industry, but as the representative of Spliff International, I speak on behalf of all of those providers who have
It's
come
the spliff
together.
lobby. Yeah.
Yeah, we have come together so that we can negotiate as a whole, and we can make sure that we have better outcomes for the producers, for the suppliers. Not really for the consumers, but that's okay. And yeah, you know, everyone wins except for 99% of the population who gets fucked over by this cartel behavior. But that's fine.
Hey,
Capitalism.
Ryan, Andrew Clark,
Oh, are you a congressperson? Are you
no, th this is, I
attempting to
assume this is like
regulate?
a press conference.
Oh, you're a
I'm
reporter. Okay.
representing my constituents, within the cigarette lobby.
Oh,
And,
Jesus. You're a
my,
lobbyist? You're a fellow lobbyist or you're a
I'm
reporter?
a fellow lobbyist. I think
Okay.
there's a potential that we could work together, but there's also, you know, potential for competition. And I just wanted, to ask you, what do you say to those customers who want a menthol spliff?
First of all, thank you so much for your question. Menthol spliffs, I mean, clearly a growth area for us. Like we understand the market. We're getting ready to launch. I think we have multiple firms again looking towards Q2 for that type of launch. As to you personally, Andrew, like I can't wait for us to collaborate more. But I will say, obviously, our product is superior. So rotten hell, you filthy pig bastard. But thank you so much for your question. Yeah.
By the way, collaborating later is standing in the alley behind the building that we're currently in and splitting a spliff.
Yes, splitting it in half so that I get the marijuana part and you get the cigarette part.
Is that how spliffs are? They're,
Spliffs are
it's
like
like a
a
Cor it's like a Korean corn dog where the
yeah.
first half is cheese and the second half is dog.
It's like a Chipotle burrito bowl when they don't mix it up and then all the ingredients are very striated, so you can just neatly slice it in half
Okay,
and get half the ingredients.
so this is the startup gumption that I'm hearing. Ryan, you're telling me that your business is but you're not.
Oh, by the way, not a, I have no stake in the business. I'm a paid employee of the Spliff International Federation. We are a group of firms that have banded together to ensure the best outcomes for the producers, not for the consumers at all. I have no stake at all. I'm just a representative. But anyway, yeah, please continue.
So you're telling me that spliffs are half smoked discarded cigarettes and half smoked discarded joints just like glued together, and then you're taking a hit of that?
Look, I can't comment on the production.
Okay.
Our various firms choose different production methods. Yeah, there are some There are some more consumer facing budgetary options that yeah, may or may not have done some recycling, as we like to call it. So, you know, we're all about going green here at the Spliff Lobby. but no, I think that the main issue... Andrew broke me. No, yeah, like if there is some glue, I think that just you get what you pay for. So, you know, if that glue is toxic and you develop mesothelioma, that's a decision you made as a consumer.
The glue that you use, the toxic glue that you use to attach the two ends of your smoking serving is different than the toxic glue that's inside of the fucking tobacco.
Yeah, absolutely. No, like, look, are we being regulated by the government at this point? No. Does that mean you as a consumer have more of a responsibility to make sure that what's going into your body won't kill you at the age of 32? That's not for me to say. Again, I'm just a representative. But
is it possible that the weed half of the spliff and the benefits of medical marijuana do counteract the negatives of smoking fucking tar tobacco?
I was about to ask.
You
like...
said it, not me. Like, we have doctors that are partnered with us. Are we paying them obscene amounts of money to publish bogus studies? Who's to say? But obviously, we've seen a lot of benefits from marijuana usage in a medical setting. And, you know, I think the jury's still out on tobacco and cigarettes in general. Like, I think, you know, there's been court cases but do we really know? So, like, as far as I'm concerned, you only have positives. There's no counteracting. It's just positives from marijuana and neutral, you know, maybe it's good, maybe it's not, from cigarettes. So it's all gravy to me as a consumer of spliffs. As a frequent consumer of spliffs, I see nothing but positives, nothing but upside. Excuse me, I have an appointment with my respiratory specialist. completely unrelated.
Also, I'm Lucas DeRider. I am trying to see the upside lately. I'm doing my best to be positive, to get through the malaise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be positive with Thomas Middleditch. Sitcom, network sitcom. Hey. The ennui. What is that reference? Canada? You mean it's something in the ennui, and I had never heard the word ennui, and I had to Google it. I think it's from Succession.
You'd never heard ennui before?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, Canada with the healthcare and the ennui. That's the exact quote.
It's a really good quote.
Yeah. That show had some good writing.
What should you be more positive about, Lucas?
Yeah.
Should I be more negative to either counteract your positivity or to make you then seem more positive by proxy?
I mean, thanks to spliffs, I still have my health. So that's something to be positive about.
So write that down. Through right. Spliffs, all things are possible.
We have ones of customers saying that it's replaced their doctor entirely.
Yeah. No, we have so many examples of the positive medical benefits of spliffs that, you know, they stay pretty private. You know, they're private people. They don't like to... they don't like to talk about their lives and everything like that. But here's Lucas DeRider saying that, you know, his health is perfect.
Also, apparently I have started writing regularly enough again, that I'm starting to get just the strangest messages through LinkedIn, through Twitter DMs, from people who don't live in reality, who have never talked to a person who is made something creatively before, requesting that I write shit for them, write about their shit in a way that is not at all convincing. Can I just read this one? Is that
fine? Was it unsolicited? Like, if they reached out to
nowhere,
you?
Nowhere, out of nowhere. Yeah,
then you're fully within your rights to read this.
Hi, Lucas. I love your content and what you do for the gaming industry. I noticed that you're always on the lookout for new content ideas for your articles, and I'd love to contribute. 2 years ago, I started Company, a reward discovery app for games that helps audiences find the best mobile games in the U.S.
Wow.
Additionally, it rewards users with gift cards for playing these games. We collaborate with gaming brands such as other identifiable information and have more than 500,000 gamers registered in the U.S. I would be thrilled to contribute to your content and explore ways we can work together.
Registered gamers sounds like registered gun owners for some reason.
The regulated industry of gamers. We all play video games. We all went to the Department of Gaming and registered ourselves.
I like to imagine in this message, Lucas, that every time they said content, it was in all caps and like in a bracket.
Yeah.
Like the AI that absolutely wrote this message, like just completely freaking out for a second. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we far enough through the rabbit hole now that like the term content creator is like, that was a placeholder term. That was a term that people like in independent media created because there was nothing that was really encapsulating of, yeah, I do video, I'm running a blog, like kind of doing some editorial stuff. I just like operating independently, like a small business owner, small production outlet in the media space. Like content creator was kind of a catch-all term for that. And now people are like, oh yeah, that's what people do. Like writers aren't a thing anymore. Like filmographers aren't a thing. Video essayists don't exist. They're all content creators. We'll just give these people money and they'll do content for it. That, I don't know. That's weird to me.
No, it was meant to be like a catch-all. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, because there were a lot of people that did all that stuff and they needed a term that would encapsulate everything that they did. But yeah, there are still specialists that don't do everything. That
even if they do, like, you're not doing everything all the time. Like, if the role only requires writing, then there's no reason to refer to it as content. Like, if the role requires, like writing, producing, filming, editing, like all these multi-hyphenates, then fair enough. But like, no, if this role only requires one aspect of quote unquote content, then people are weird when you refer to it as, and that's how you know that, this is like an AI. This is the entrepreneurship equivalent of a guy swiping right on every single person on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then sending the same pre-written message to every single match and just hoping someone responds.
It's just the worrying of it. It's just, and the framing of them like supposedly knowing anything about what my work is. Like, I don't know. If I get a message that reads more along the lines of, hey, I'm running this indie place, I'm running this startup, here's our press kit, if you want to do a blog about us, awesome, totally open to an interview, feel free to reach out, like that, I might engage with that. But like the copy paste of that message, the generality of that message, it almost feels diminishing to the work I do to refer to
it is like because they're not seeing you as like a writer and a creative. They're seeing you as a shill that can create some bullshit media, maybe across different landscapes to advertise for their fucking dumbass mobile game system.
You do content about us? You do content about us for free?
Yeah, I assume that was in there. At some point of like, we can't pay
you. Exposure.
Yeah, we'll pay you an exposure. Don't you want to be a part of a growing brand?
Yeah. No, I think Bo Burnham did a great job with his Netflix special. The song Content, it frequently gets overlooked, but it kind of kicks off the whole special of just like, look, I've made you content. I think anyone who like is creative thinks that term is fucking insane. But yeah, it's used all the time by everyone to refer to anything marginally creative. It's content.
But then on the other side of that, I don't know. I go sometimes when I start scrolling for just a little too long on TikTok, I get the like the AI voices like narrating, like explaining scenes in movies out of context. Yeah. And it's like, oh yeah, this is content, actually. This is just something that I am meant to stare at for like 30 to 90 seconds and like move on. Like that is,
it's filler. It's life filler.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm so scared of Generation Alpha at this point. Like I remember like it happens all the time. It usually skips a generation, right? And I know that we're like kind of cuspy. So in theory, if you were to skip a true generation, it would be like the generation between Alpha and whatever. Is it beta? Is it going to be beta? That'd be really funny if they choose beta. We're the beta generation. We're just going to keep to ourselves. But dude, like, yeah, whenever you scroll too long on TikTok and you get like a movie scene on the top half, and then fucking Subway Surfer or like a weird GTA
Minecraft map. Jump puzzles.
Yeah, and, Minecraft parkour. And when I first saw that, I was like, what's the point of this? And then I saw the parodies of it, people making fun of, like Gen Alpha's attention span being so bad that you need two things on the screen at once. And I was like, oh, we're all fucked. Like, we're genuinely doomed, aren't we? Like, this, we've broken our own brains, like, by just the same shit that breaks society at large with like race to the bottom, like create the absolute, like extract maximum value with no thought as to the consequences.
Remember when the crack the algorithm formula was just, oh yeah, have a video, but then like top text and bottom text, and like that's it. That's all you need. And now it's Subway Surfer. We need stimuli in every corner of this video. Yeah.
I thought I was a degenerate because like my favorite thing to do to like properly shut off my brain is play video games while listening to podcasts. Mm-hmm. Like, so then it's like, oh, I'm focusing on the podcast and like dedicating any remaining leftover energy to this video game. Like usually, you know, a chiller video game. And I was like, man, it's kind of sad that my attention span is that bad. Comparatively, like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, I just don't know. Like, every teacher keeps raising the alarm that, like, yo, these kids can't read. Like, there's something bad going on. Like,
I might have talked about this before. And, like, if you guys think this is, like, too identifiable or, like, not okay to share, let me know. But my sister is a elementary school teacher, and every time I talk to her, she keeps telling me more and more things that are just like absolutely nightmare inducing of like, she has a student that just keeps barking, that will bark for hours, like the entire time they're in class until they get sent away, and they've been suspended multiple times for it. And when they come back, they just keep barking. And I guess they don't do it in other classes. It's just that one like hour long stretch that they're in her class. And then there was another kid that has shit his pants on purpose multiple times because it's funny, and will then like walk around the room and shake his pant legs out to distribute the shit in patterns.
In fairness to that kid, that's pretty funny.
It's funny from the outside, but like he's going to be the shit pants kid for the rest of his life. Everyone's gonna know that kid as the guy that shit his pants on purpose because it was funny.
That's shit pants kid Esquire to you. he's our future law school graduates. I don't know, man.
Future military wife. Like there's fights every day. Like I don't know that there was a single actual fight while I was in middle, like elementary school, that whole time. And she's had like 5 kids suspended for like brutal fights just to, like, in the last few months. It's bad. And then the other part of that is that they don't know how to read. It's like, they don't know how to be human beings, and they don't know how to do like basic skills that they should have been like up to date with 3 years ago. They're so behind on everything.
Like
COVID fucked them, but then also like the iPad generation, like,
yeah.
That's where I'm at. And I keep like, I find myself being like, oh man, these kids are fucked up. But like, they didn't do that to themselves. It's not their fault.
Right.
Somebody else did that to them. Our generation, the generation above us, like collectively worked together to make sure that these kids have no social skills.
Yeah. No chance whatsoever. Like, and I think that, yeah, a lot of times it just gets chalked up to COVID and they're like, look, mm-hmm. it's like anti-maskers and anti-vaxxers and stuff are just like, look what you did. Like, this is so much worse. And like, I agree. Like, obviously you can't ignore the impact of that on like early childhood education. Like, that's an important time for socialization and everything like that, but it's recoverable. Like, all of this could have been recovered from, and it isn't, because of how fucked up like their daily lives are. Like, a lot of kids had issues like that in the past where, yeah, maybe they were homeschooled and like came up a little bit socially underdeveloped and everything mm-hmm. like that, but you can recover by then being reintegrated into like a proper society.
Yeah. But there's no proper society to be reintegrated into. And like, so, you think about the bandwidth that it takes to like, you know, for lack of a better term, fix those kids that like were not properly socialized. When everybody is like that, you can't say, all right, teacher,
right,
spend 10 hours a day on each individual kid to make them relearn how to be a human being.
Yeah.
Especially with how much of an economy exists currently around just like exploiting people like this. Like,
yeah.
When we were in high school, it was like, oh, even if you're just like a little socially misaligned, like everyone is at some point in high school, it's like, hey, we got this like alt-right pipeline here for you, ready to go. Like, it, and that's only gotten like more established. And I don't know, like, that is the shit his pants kid gonna be an alt-right politician? Yeah. Is he gonna
storm the Capitol? Face of that,
and he's gonna brag about it. When I was a kid, I shit my pants on purpose because I'm a maverick. Yeah. I didn't follow the societal rules set by the socialist right. elite.
That's how much I hate public schools.
Right, I was in public school.
To send your kids to.
That was my protest. I as a little kid, I knew.
I mean, I'm going to use the word content now because I think this is actually the proper use for it. Like, these kids are consuming content that is unregulated and like completely, you know, bullshit that's pumped out to get them to consume it as long as possible without saying anything meaningful or important or educational. And they're consuming it all the time. So they have no attention span. They don't know how to like act around people, but then also the stuff that they're consuming is oftentimes extremely fucked up mm-hmm. and not okay for kids that age to see, all the way from the scary shit that nobody that age should be watching because it'll fuck them up, desensitizing like violent and sexual stuff. But then also you got Andrew fucking Tate, who is like that kind of alt-right content creator, again, for lack of a better word, is targeting very young people. And I was at the bar this weekend, Fox News is on the TV, and they were talking about how like woke Democrats are panicking because young boys are becoming more conservative, and they hate that young boys are able to think for themselves. It's like, no, they're all listening to fucking Andrew Tate and Joe Rogan.
Yeah,
and they're being brainwashed. They're not being told like, hey, fiscal responsibility is important, or like, make sure you grow up with strong family values.
Right.
It's women suck and you are better than them just because of why you were born that way.
This is straight Nazi Germany shit. And like, there were a lot of conservatives that encouraged the early Nazi movement because, they were anti-communist. They were against a lot of the same enemies. And they were like, oh, you're on the same side of the political spectrum, so you'll kind of rally with us when need be and everything like that. And yeah, like it's so unbelievably short-sighted because you think that's where they're going to stop. Like you really think they're going to be like, oh yeah, that guy who thinks his taxes should be lower, he's on our side. Like
to push back on Fox News, I've heard that talking point before that young men, young people are becoming more conservative. Like no, they're not. It's just that like they haven't outright rejected a lot of these ideas because I don't know, when you're a middle class white boy at the age of 14, it's like, oh, wow. So you're telling me I don't have to confront like white guilt or my own privilege if I just like humor libertarianism as an ideology? Like, oh, like all of this is mine because this political system, this belief system tells me I deserve it and I'm special like that. Sure as shit, I'm going to entertain that. And hopefully a lot of them grow out of that. Hopefully they live enough to realize that that is bogus. But yeah, no, that stat's been floating around, I don't know, since we were in college, at least. And I think that is debunked to me.
I don't even know that. Yeah, they like fall on the same type of political spectrum. Like I was watching this one person who's a recruiter and she's recruiting for interns. Mm-hmm. And like, fortunately at my company, we get kind of cream of the crop type interns. Like we get people that are fucking A tier and everything, like, or S tier, I guess. But she's just like for a random company and she's recruiting for interns. And she's like, I'm done. Like, she's like, I've had so many issues in the past because it's interns, you know, they don't understand professionalism. They don't understand a lot of like what goes on in the workplace. And it's like, yeah, I get that. Like, I understand, oh, they're not interviewing particularly well, or, oh, like, you know, shit like that. Like, oh, they're being a little too informal with their language, or, oh, they're doing, you know, like small things that I feel like are easily corrected once they're in the workforce. She's like, nowadays I'll have candidates reach out to me with questions. By the way, like I have like 500 applicants for this position and I get about 200 emails from the applicants with questions. And a lot of times the questions are, why do I need a resume for this posting? And she's like, I can't process your application without a resume, like that you will not be considered. And they're like, oh, what? Well, like, I don't have a resume. They're like, she's like, oh, Well, then I can't consider you. She doesn't even say I make one. She's like, well, then you can't get the job. Like, that's a requirement. And so then she'll get like an iPhone Notes screenshot with the battery percentage and the carrier. And it just says like a couple of things that they've been in on an iPhone Notes and like maybe their name and a phone number. And that's their resume. Like, she's just like, there's, it's beyond, you know, like we're to the point where, and like, I get lack of respect for tradition and how things are done. Like, I actually admire that about the Zoomer generation for sure, is like, just being like, wait, that's stupid. Why are we doing it that way? That's fucking bullshit. But there is a level of like, you have to get there. You have to get there before you can say fuck tradition and fuck the way that we're doing things. We're going to break shit and switch everything up. You can't do that from the outside.
Like, yeah. There's a difference between like making an effort to dismantle the like harmful aspects of society, like including corporatism and capitalism. There's a difference between that and going to an interview and putting your feet up on a table while ripping from your vape going, I don't know if I even want this job. Convince me that I want it.
Yeah. Like, it's, fair enough to you, but when it becomes, and like every individual who does that is totally fine. Like, good luck to you. But yeah, when it becomes a societal thing, it's like, are we heading to a cliff? Question mark. Like, I don't want to quote Idiocracy, but like, I don't know. What if we're the last generation that's like kind of got their shit together and it just progressively, you know, keeps unraveling because of, again, like this race to the bottom, this like lowest common denominator, like not blaming the individuals. I'm not doing the boomer shit of like, no, they're just lazy. That's why it's broken. Like, because of factors completely outside of their control, just incapable of dealing with our world. Like, I feel like we're already kind of underprepared, our generation, because we were promised all this idealism and all of these things that we would get, and it's gone. Like, it's completely gone. We have none of it. There is no wealth coming. There's home ownership is a myth. Like, it's impossible. Like, any level of retirement is looking less and less possible as we move along. Like, it's a complete lie, and we all know it, but at least we're well adjusted enough to have, like, I don't know, do some doom scrolling like meme shit about it instead of just abjectly shutting down and just like completely going into learned helplessness mode. And I don't know, like, sitting there until you die. I just don't know what's gonna happen.
No, I think about this a lot. Like, unless you have like any amount of generational wealth coming your way, it is almost impossible to have the kind of lifestyle that there is a societal expectation to have. Like, I am privileged and fortunate enough that, like, okay, you know what? I'm probably going to be able to have a career, like, over the course of my entire life that is largely defined by me making a close to sustainable wage, doing the things that I want to do. Is that going to lead to home ownership in a place I actually want to live? Is that going to lead to having enough money and stability to maybe to have a family? Is that maybe if property values stay up by the time my relatives pass away, I'll inherit enough money to be able to retire. But like, that is, I don't know. Those are some of the like mundane, very white anxieties keeping me up at night occasionally. But that
there was an article that I read like 2 or 3 days ago about like, people are finally talking about like generational wealth transfer to the millennial generation, because like the millennial generation does not really have any like built in wealth. And they're saying, within the next 20 years, when the parents of the millennial generation die, the millennials will then become the richest generation in history, that they're set to inherit $90 trillion, because of the baby boomers finally dying off and giving their homes and their savings and stuff to their children. And then there was a little asterisk at the bottom that was like, by the way, this is mostly going to like 100 people, this $90 trillion dollars. Like, this is just because the baby boomer generation has like the highest concentration of billionaires. And when they die, you know, their heirs will inherit that money, but the regular people are set to inherit nothing.
Yeah.
That like 90% of the millennial generation will not inherit anything from their parents.
Yeah. People don't realize like the wealth extraction that has been set up for late life type shit. Like, boomers are great. A lot of boomers have at the very least a house.
Yeah.
And property values are high. That's a fuck ton of money. But we're talking about reverse mortgages. We're talking about like late life nursing home care. We're talking about these things that are so expensive that pretty much everyone just bankrupts. Like, that's, and then Medicare kicks in. Like, Medicare doesn't kick in. And
Medicaid.
Medicaid doesn't kick in until you're basically bankrupt. So it's literally just all your assets are gone now because you've lived in a nursing home for the last 10 years. And so now they stand to inherit literally nothing. Like, that is all gone.
You are more likely to inherit debt when your parent dies than any sort of wealth.
Like, I see what people are saying with like, the generational handover, but there's also a grift going on, and a lot of that is being sifted away. And sure, plenty of people are going to inherit something, but plenty of people are not. Like, that's just the reality of the situation. My grandma worked her entire life at a nice, like, well-paying job, like, retired at a proper age, saved up a lot of money she wanted to pass on to her kids and everything like that. And then, she had debilitating medical issues for the latter part of her life and ended up, having to stay in assisted living for a long time until it's all gone. Like, that's just how it works. We've extended lifespans without extending livability. We can keep people alive for a long time after quality of life has dipped to the
point. But it's very expensive to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That it's not even a good time and it's unbelievably expensive. So it's like doubling down and you lose everything. And that's how it is. So like, Yeah, everyone's in it on like on their own at this point, and like shit's fucking crazy, man. Who knows what's 20 years from now? Like I for all we know, like everything's gone. So maybe that's the best way to look at it. It's like, you know what? What are systems? Like what is an economy? What are goods and services? Maybe we're on a plateau right now. No idea.
Listeners, if y'all can't tell, Planning Doc looking a little barren this week. So we're kind of freewheeling. This is
Oh
where we
yeah.
end up when we freewheel.
Goes one of two ways, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we either talk about I don't know, some depravity, like just insert any sort of concept and then come. Or we just get really depressed and talk about how shit's fucked, man. It's all over.
Well, it's because it's real. Like, I don't
Yeah,
know. This
I agree.
is what we come to because, yeah, you either talk about the world as it exists in a fully like not nihilism, not like pessimism,
There's just
straight
no
realism.
shaders on
Yeah.
here.
Just for this is for real how it is. And or you, yeah, you're fucking your EMTs at the site of the most horrific car accident that you've ever seen, and you're making macabre jokes about the car accident because that's how you cope. Like,
Yeah.
yeah, we're making jokes about the spliff industry, or we're talking about the world for reals. So, I don't know.
I was fucking laid off in October, and following that, my industry, my career path has seen like just repeated layovers month after month. And it's kind of like, oh, do I have to, at the age of 28, coming on 29, do I have to wipe away most of my resume for a new career path because the one I was on just isn't tenable anymore? Okay, that's terrifying. That's
Yeah.
terrifying and shouldn't be a thing, but here we are.
Right. No, if you told me that the tech industry would become a somewhat untenable like career path before broadcast television, I would have lied. Like when I entered my field, I was just kind of like, oh, you know, I know that there's potentially a limited time in this field, but I think there's room enough to pivot if that were to come to bear. And I feel like everyone always said, no, tech is the that's the bulletproof one. That's the future. Like there is no world where tech becomes like an impossible field to get a job in. But yeah, no, I was talking to my friend who I play flag football with, and his tech company that he works for laid off 40% of their workforce. And his team, it was more like 66%. Like he went from a team of about 20 to a team of six permanent staff members and a few contractors who split time between different departments. Like it's really, really bad. And again, that's another like weird lie that we were told. Like that was the one that like, oh, you're going into computer science. Oh, you're going into like these types of fields. Good for you. You
No.
nailed it. Like
Yeah.
it's
Oh, you want a job? Learn to code.
yeah.
You'll never like be unemployed ever.
Yeah. You're so in demand. Like that's the future. That field is only gonna grow. And then no, it does. And there's so many people that got into it, not because they love it, because they were like, I want stability. I value that more than my own personal enjoyment of my career. And now they got neither. And I see people on like subreddits for that type of thing being like, you know, how did I get a job? Well, I had five to six personal projects. I had some passion stuff I was doing on the side that helped get me noticed. I was constantly networking and working with other professionals and helping them out on their projects and everything like that. And like people are in the comments like, I don't really like coding. Like this is my job. I think I'm reasonably good at it and I'm definitely qualified for a lot of these positions, but I don't want to do it 24/7. And then that guy's responding like, gets into field that you're not passionate about. Like you can't find a job because you're not passionate enough. Sounds like a you problem. And it's like, what? Like
And like that is I bit that bullet, like in college, like just out of college, like, oh, hey, I worked for free for longer than like I should have for companies that I should have been paying me for the work that I was doing. And like that down the line turned into a job that I really liked. But that's not a thing that shouldn't be the reality. That shouldn't be a part of that process. And yeah. It's kind of the inverse of like what we were talking about earlier, how younger people have been so failed by the system that they are not equipped to fill these like designated entry level positions. And you're having companies are having a hard time filling those because of that. But like actually desirable roles, positions that people want to work in that are actually tempting, like that is there is we're top and bottom heavy here, where there's you can't fill the bottom roles and there are too many people who are admittedly overqualified and laid off now to fill like the roles people actually want to work in. It's I don't know, it's a weird logjam.
There's a lot of people taking those entry-level roles, and then that just raises all boats. Like now the qualifications for a quote-unquote entry-level job involve 3 to 5 years of experience. And it's like, well, hold on a minute. What's the definition of entry-level now?
Like, I am interviewing, thankfully. Like I have been getting interviews, and that has done wonders for my mental health. But I had a recruiter tell me when we got to the part about like, hey, what are your salary expectations for this role? And I like was honest, and she responded with, oh, cool. And thank you for like giving an actual answer to that. I've talked to people and they're like, oh, I'll do this for below the minimum salary listed at this position.
Oh my God.
And it's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. No, I'm good on you for listing anything. I have never once actually given a good answer to that. And I love sometimes the recruiter will come to me and be like, oh, well, you know, like, what's your I'm working with you, like, I want you to accept the job so you can tell me. Good luck.
Like I generally, because I don't know, I've gotten plenty of advice on this, but what I've found to be like feels right for me is I always give a number on like the higher spread of the range that's listed, and then hedge that with a but of course, I'll need more information about the entirety of your benefits package before I, you know, commit to any kind of expected salary like that kind of. Yeah.
Well, if they list a range, then you're set. Which right, I think you might. Do you have to do that in California now?
You do. Colorado.
Yeah, you have to do that in Wisconsin now too.
Fuck yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, sometimes the range is laughable. Sometimes it's 40 to 180K. And you're like,
it's like, it could be anything.
Yeah, it could even be livable.
A lot of, because I am taking all offers at this point. A lot of them skirt that with like, really the upper value is limitless with our commission system.
Yeah.
You could make millions of dollars. All you have to do is
make
net,
billions for us.
Net $4.6 billion in revenue for our company. And you can make upwards of $1.2 million a year. Crazy, but it might just work.
Yeah, trade offer. I receive $400 billion. You receive livable salary. Who says no?
You receive a one-bedroom condo, like, near the freeway. So, like, you can kind of hear the noise, but not, like, right on the freeway. Like, it's pretty good, you know? Like, yeah, there might be some encampments nearby, but, like, it's not walkable anyway, so you're going to be driving out of the the condo all the times anyway. It's fine.
You make us money, you get healthcare, which is a felony not to have.
Yeah.
Or not a misdemeanor, I think. I forget the exact law.
It would be funny. We're throwing you into jail for not having health insurance. You scum. You disgust me. You are the underbelly of society. Rapists, murderers, and people who don't have health insurance all go in one disgusting pot.
There was no good transition into either of these. There were a bunch of layoffs at Sony, PlayStation, and EA. Which is just a weekly conversation point, just a weekly topic so far in 2024. So I don't know if we have anything to add necessarily to these. I will note, though, that the PlayStation layoffs happened like immediately after PlayStation CEO Jim Ryan's retirement party at that studio. He knew. Yeah. He knew the entire time. And
he knew, and they said, I want my last few days here to be, like, happy. I want to, like, throw this party. You can do whatever the fuck you want as soon as I'm gone.
Mm.
Fuck y'all. Yeah. Fuck these people. I don't care about anyone.
Thanks for the party. Y'all are laid off.
Yeah. Bob Iger left, like, just as COVID was starting. And then everything went to shit. And then he was like, hey, I'm back, guys. Like, COVID was rough, huh? Well, let's get back to work. Like, he just dipped the whole pandemic and then was like, all right, well, that sucked, huh? Let's try to get this all back. It wasn't me, not my fault. Did my hand-picked successor make multiple blunders that cost the company billions of dollars? Maybe.
Is Disney now somehow pro and anti-queer at the same time? Oops.
Who's to say? Not me. I'm the cool CEO. I would never.
And then I should note, but also I can't talk a ton about it because I've sworn to secrecy. But I don't know, this happened and there was a whole special podcast on this podcast about it. The Crunchyroll Anime Awards happened. The Hatteken Shonen series, Jujutsu Kaisen, swept like series like that are want to do in this season. Yeah, I think it won like 16 out of the 23 categories it was nominated for. Popular vote, so this is going to be a populist result. The weird thing is, though, cutoff for shows to be eligible happened like going into Q4 of 2023. It had half of its most recent season air in Q3 and then the rest of it in Q4. So it is very possible again. That, yeah, you think that maybe it won't be, considering that people voted in a way that's like, oh, we're evaluating this on the entirety of the season, not just these 4 episodes that came out. But yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see Chainsaw Man won Best New Show.
I like the manga better. Very open about that. Nah.
Andrew, are you ever going to watch the anime for Chainsaw Man?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Nah.
Damn.
Even Lucas told me I didn't need to. So what, well, you never what need reason to. Would I have to do that?
You don't need to do anything, Andrew.
I can just give up on society and stay in this chair until I starve to death.
Yeah, you can just eat saltines in your living room and stare at a wall.
I'm getting on the soapbox. They make Chainsaw Man less progressive in the anime.
He's not progressive in the fucking manga. That is a fantasy that you created.
Hey, Ryan, to make Nazis not a thing, would you say that is a progressive thing to do? Like, just not, hey, don't exist anymore. Nazis, the ideology of Nazism doesn't exist. Is that progressive?
I could see it actually kind of going both ways, right? Like, no, that could be erasure. That could be like, no, that's not even a real thing, so don't worry about it.
What about
it.
Curing AIDS?
That's not progressive. That's just...
Okay.
Again, that's just like pretending these things don't exist is not inherently progressive. To have a Nazi in the show and kick the shit out of him, that's somewhat progressive. And to be like, all Nazis deserve this. It's not because he's an asshole Nazi. It's because of his ideology that he's getting the shit kicked out of him. And everyone who shares his ideology should also have that happen to them. That would be progressive.
And here's the thing, Ryan. Lucas is not talking about like a character in the manga being like, I'm going to make sure that Nazis never existed, and then doing something to make sure Nazis didn't exist. There's a throwaway line where they explain the concept that if Chainsaw Man eats something, it ceases to exist. And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. What does that mean? It's like, well, that's why you've never heard of like Nazi Germany or nuclear weapons. And it's like, oh, okay. I don't know what that is. And then they move on. It's just,
it's the just riot, a weird that scene you described line. Did happen, just was not shown in the background.
Yeah, I think they need to draw more attention to it for it to get kudos, potentially.
And once again, never brought up again. It is one, it's a text bubble in a cell on a piece of paper with a person with a chainsaw for a face talking.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying like Chainsaw Man is fucking, I'm not saying Chainsaw Man was written by Marx where the progressivism is the point. I'm just saying it's casually integrated in a way that I like in the manga, and in the anime, they dialed that back.
That's why all the women have giant tits.
Andrew, you've seen giant anime tits. That's not in this. You can't pin that on Chainsaw Man.
I mean, like, yeah, you know what? I'm actually kind of more inclined to agree with Andrew, especially if it was Nazi Germany and not the concept of Nazism. Like, if it's just like, no, Nazi Germany specific, because again, everyone's anti-Nazi Germany. Modern day neo-Nazis for the most part are against Nazi Germany. They're like, well, that was pretty rough what they did. Same time, they had a lot of ideas that
like, I think World War II still happened in this universe. Just the concept of Nazism does not exist.
How did World War II happen without the cause of World War II? Just gonna, it's like slavery doesn't exist. I mean, the Civil War happened, but yeah. I don't know that that's,
I mean, you talk to anyone possible in the South and they would still be like, well, that's because the Civil War wasn't about slaves and would have happened anyway. It was about taxes.
Have you guys seen trailers for that A24 movie Civil War? And it's, yeah, like, yeah, California Texas, we're, yeah, in that, this.
I do. I
clasp hands.
I thought about that last night because I had my list of movies that I want to see this year. I'm like, oh, Alex Garland, Civil War movie. That sounds fucking cool. And I saw the trailer and it's like the Republic of California and Texas, the two states or whatever the fuck it was called. Like that, those are not the states that would join up.
Texas is under a blue shift, man. Never know. No. Give it a few years. It could be for real, for real. But no, I mean, California and Texas teaming up would just be because California and Texas could solo the other 48 states single fucking handedly. So that's the real reason.
Yeah, California is going to walk in to a room with a pot on its head and be like, let me solo her. It's her being most of the continental United States.
Texas is just like sitting there with like, what, 70% of the military bases, but it's in the corner watching California do its thing. And when California gets surrounded by like Idaho, Georgia, and South Carolina, then Texas steps in and is like, all right, all right, all right. Like, come on now. We all know how this is going to end here. Like,
I mean, listen, y'all used to have California on the fresh water, but thanks to climate change, no, we're fucking good to go on that front. Yeah. Watch yourself.
You ain't got shit. It's over.
What is Alexander, the Making of a God?
I recently had access to Netflix for a few hours again, and I was trying to figure out what to watch, and I saw that, like, I had seen a trailer for this. It is basically a 6-part semi-documentary in the style of, like, you know, History Channel shit that we would watch when we were kids, where they'd have, like, experts being interviewed about, like, some historical thing. Then they'd have, like, it would flash to a recreation, like, a historical reenactment of, like, what was going on with terrible acting. And it's
generalizing,
like,
a little bit on we there, but okay.
It's basically that, but reversed, where most of this is a produced drama, but then sometimes they have like a historian chime in and be like, Alexander the Great was one of the greatest military minds in human history and was known for his unorthodox tactics that took, you know, the Persian Empire by storm. And then it would cut to this blonde, blue-eyed guy talking to Ptolemy the First, who was reduced to just a tall guy in this show, and being like, I got an idea. What if we just charge right at them down the middle? And then Ptolemy going, That idea is so crazy, it just might work.
You son of a bitch. I'm in.
And they clasp arms like yeah. It's fucking Predator.
And Alexander's and like, leading the vanguard. Like his horse is like four yes, horse lengths in front of everyone
and
else.
And he's got his spear and he's like, charge! And like the four horses that they were able to get for the television show are shown on screen at once. And like it's such a weird show that like I really enjoyed watching because the acting is bad, but not bad like what you would normally see on like a History Channel reenactment. And so it's in this weird uncanny valley, and like the production value is really good for a History Channel documentary, which it isn't actually a History Channel documentary.
Mm-hmm.
But like not good for a regular TV show. And it's on Netflix. It's in this weird gray area, and it's fascinating because everything is like so reduced to like base level knowledge of like this is not a good documentary. It's not getting into any actual detail or historical facts. It's like these weird, like half drawn characters, and it's really funny.
I'll be the one to ask. How gay is Alexander the Great in this?
Oh, that was the first scene. The first scene, they're like, Alexander the Great was born in Macedon, and we join him when he's about 20 years old in self-imposed exile. And he comes out of the water and like does this, and then another fucking dude rises up next to him, and they make out for like 3 minutes. And they're like, here's the thing about ancient Greece. They didn't even have a word for homosexuality. Everyone was down for it.
Yeah, the straightest, whitest historian ever. Just like, well, in ancient Greece, you've got to get one thing straight, is the cultural values were different than what we experience today. As it's just two dudes fucking macking, like going hard on each other, and just milquetoast dude explaining away homosexuality. Like, it wasn't so much about sexuality, it was more about dominance and camaraderie, and they're just fucking like tongue down each other's throat.
Like Hephaestion was Alexander's best friend since childhood. They went everywhere together. He's his closest confidant and ally in war. They were always next to each other, and they also were just super duper in love.
But again, if it's pasty white straight dude, he would drop the last part. He would just be like, they engaged in sexual acts, but again, it was more about like increasing the bond between the two of them. As one's just like fully going in, you know, that's good. I like that. That's fun. At least the show creators are willing to go there.
Yeah,
just be like, no, this dude's. What we would consider
super
gay.
Like,
who cares that it's not what quote unquote they would consider different? Probably how it should be in the real world.
Hey,
yeah.
Not the Alexander the Great world. The Alexander the Great universe. ATGCU.
Listen, guys.
Alexander the Great cinematic universe. Yeah.
I don't know, but we gotta start mapping the human genome. We gotta start mapping. I know research into the gay gene is controversial, but all I'm saying, with my sexual proclivities and my talent for strategy games, there might be something there.
It's like, saying you're a descendant of Alexander the Great because you like guys and also like know how to like move pieces around on a battlefield board.
All I'm saying is that is a superpower that all bisexual men might have, you know?
The other part of the Alexander the Great documentary that like is really funny to me is that they keep talking about how great of a tactician he was. Mm-hmm. Like kind of like Lucas. You didn't watch this documentary, but you know Alexander the Great, known for being like a super advanced military mind.
Yeah.
Everything that he did, he was getting lucky. And I mean that like he was making every wrong decision where all of his advisors were being like, no, you don't understand. This is a really bad idea. And he'd be like, I don't care. I need to get on the battlefield now. And then the shit would just work out. Like it was all by accident. And they're like, Alexander almost died like 5 times in the course of this first campaign. And it was just like a complete like accident that he didn't. And like the, you know, they talk about like, oh, he did this because he knew that the enemy wouldn't expect it. It was so unorthodox that he was like, I'm going to take advantage of like, you know, their traditions on the battlefield. They won't see this coming. And it was just, I gotta go. I gotta fucking get in there. Like, let's do this shit right now. And like, nobody knew what they were doing. And it just worked out.
I mean, it's like natural selection. Like, mm-hmm. What if there's been how many military commanders over the course of 200,000 years of human history? What if he was just the fucking weirdo Mr. Magoo? Who got lucky at every turn and did like an Edge of Tomorrow Tom Cruise style run where he just kept making the right decision completely by chance and kept narrowly surviving as though, yeah, he was in a video game and he could replay it infinite amount of times. But it was just through the nature of infinite amount of military leaders that he was able to.
Yeah, nobody else got as lucky as he did. He was that one lucky guy.
It is sport, though. It is like any kind of competition, though, where the majority of time, the obviously better team is going to win. But if you're good enough to at least be in the mix and competent enough to know what is going on, how to read what is happening, how to analyze the board, which is a weird expression, but I'm going to go with it here. Sometimes you notice that. Sometimes you notice, wait, is this a thing we can exploit? Fucking go for it. We're going to lose this. Might as well go all in on that. And sometimes it works. And sometimes you're on the other side of it. Like, okay, I can freak out right now, or I can act like I've been here. Act like this all went according to plan. And then they'll make documentaries about me where a much hotter guy than I actually am makes out with a much hotter guy than the guys I actually make out with.
Yeah. No, I can literally jump around like I'm Dude Perfect and I just made the craziest trick shot on my 14,000th try. Or I can be like, light a cigar and lay back and be like,
I knew that would happen.
When a plan comes together. See, I knew that they would do this correct move. So then I did the bad move and then they did a bad move. That's I just knew that's how it was going to work. I'm that fucking smart, man. I'm thinking in 8D chess. So we're saying Alexander the Great mid.
So far, I've not Alexander finished the documentary.
Yeah, what if Alexander that's just his mid? What if that's just his early life, and then the rest of the documentary is like, dude, this dude's fucking Queen's Gambit level. Like,
yeah,
just way.
Yeah, the next episode is like Alexander realized how lucky he was, and like started absolutely hitting the books.
Yeah,
learned everything about everyone.
Yeah, the actor's literally like, I'm a dumbass. I need to figure this out, and then just like montage of like 10 years of his life of just like studying and learning and traveling the world to find the greatest military minds. And you're just like,
I'm putting together a team.
You son of a bitch. I'm in.
Oh, there was never a drunk history for Alexander the Great.
Ah,
damn. That would have been good. Mm.
That show's canceled, right?
Yeah. Yeah. For a while now.
There you go.
Now, what even is on Comedy Central nowadays?
Reruns.
Ridiculousness.
Oh.
Ridiculousness and like half a dozen episodes of South Park a year. That's pretty much it.
That's enough for... Oh, and The Daily Show.
Once a week with Jon Stewart, yeah.
And then Jordan Klepper, the other ones.
They still have like a rotating like weekly host sort of thing.
I think for like the rest every of the week. Days. Yeah, they have four hosts who host it rotating every week.
Something called Digman.
Yeah, I don't know if that got brought back.
Awkwafina is Nora from Queens.
Same. I'm not sure that that's still active. It's been a minute.
And then, yeah, Reno 911. Oh, they got Seinfeld now. Parks and Rec. The Cleveland Show.
These are all reruns. None of these shows are currently in production.
In production. Everybody still hates Chris.
Jesus.
What the hell is that?
The sequel to Everyone Hates Chris.
I mean, yeah, I could have gotten that from context clues, but I guess you're right.
Is what's his name? The guy from Abbott Elementary? Is he the narrator now? Like, Chris Rock has passed it down. And it's about... What's that guy's name? It's Tyler something. Elementary cast. I guess I could also do Everybody Hates Chris cast. Tyler James Williams.
Yeah.
Tyler, weird name for an adult. I don't know.
What's a normal name for an adult, Lucas?
Tyler Williams is a weird name for an adult. Yeah, I can't think of a more basic name for an adult.
Tyler.
I want Lucas's normal name.
Can you imagine being 42 and being like, "Hi, I'm Tyler"?
Yeah, I think it happens a lot because it's a common name.
Yeah, like you're talking about like I don't know, Maggie or Chad or like whatever. Like those are names where you're like, "Oh man, can you imagine fucking Alex with a Y being an adult?" It's different. Tyler's a regular ass name.
I don't think like Cody is an adult name either. You hear Cody and you're like, oh yeah, that's a child.
I don't know. Children grow up. I went to school with a fuck ton of Codys. That was a really common name.
I don't know. So, you say that, Lucas, and I'm starting to... I kind of agree with you on that one specifically.
Yeah!
On Cody, that like I don't know that I've ever met an adult Cody.
You went to school with Codys. They're now in their late 20s.
Yeah, but I haven't met them since they were in elementary school. To me, they're still 14.
That's the last time you saw them.
Yeah, I don't know what they're up to. They might be dead.
They all dropped out when they were 15. The mass Cody filter. It's like Codys don't make it to sophomore year of high school. They all drop out by sophomore year.
At least Tyler
they die by the time they're 18.
At least Tyler can switch to Ty. Cody, there's no changing that name. Like you gotta move to like, oh, I go by my middle name now.
Is Ty more adult than Tyler? I feel like Ty is like a kid's name.
I don't know.
Maybe that's just me.
I'm playing that new Final Fantasy game, and that is, as a big boy of a video game, that is, if we were talking about this a while ago, but to establish the difference between action and an action adventure game, yeah, that's just the first Final Fantasy remake game versus the open world action adventure second Final Fantasy remake game. It's good. I'm enjoying it. There's a card game in there that I'm putting way too much time into. Maybe more than like the actual main mechanics of the game already. And my only criticism so far is that the graphics are too good. Like they're making the characters look like too real. And it's not, it just looks uncanny. It's like, I don't like the way that this like realized K-pop human being moves around in the world. That seems weird and unnatural.
Are the timeline ghosts still a thing that you told me about from the first remake?
They have not appeared, but they have been referenced, and it is kinda... Andrew, you're loosely familiar with the plot of Final Fantasy VII, right?
Yeah.
So like,
not the end of it, because I don't know if I ever watched the end of Team Four Star do that. Most of it.
It's a throwaway thing that like maybe the ghosts fuck with memories, and that's a line of dialogue in the remake now of Tifa being like, yeah, so Cloud just told us that shit that went down in both of our childhoods. I don't remember any of that. So in this version of the game, she now attributes that to spooky ghosts fucking with her memory instead of, I don't know what the explanation was in the original game, like her just not confronting him about it or not wanting to stir the pot at all. So that's all in there.
Okay.
I'm enjoying it. Ryan, what are you checking out?
I talked about it a little bit on poker, but I think we're watching The Traitors on Peacock. We're watching Oppenheimer with subtitles, but it's a slow burn, as Christopher Nolan intended. We're watching it in 20-minute chunks while our puppy naps. That's exactly what he wanted. And yeah, playing FIFA with an all-women team now, because I don't have time to actually like grind out a meta team. So I have a team entirely made up of women, and people get very upset at me, and it's great.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that. I love rubbing it in people's face when I beat them with the object of their ire. So that's fun. But yeah.
Women shouldn't be even in this game. Why am I losing to them?
Yeah. It's not realistic. Doesn't make any sense. And then they play with that guy who died in 1940, who receives a pass from a mega boosted, like 70 overall real life player who got a promo card to make him 89 overall and God speed tier, like, or God tier speed. Yeah. Realism. That's your issue. That's why you don't like this. Yeah. I had one guy specifically. Virgil van Dijk is known as like the biggest, like most intimidating defender in the world right now. And Megan Rapinoe, who in particular gets hate because she said that women deserve to be paid as much as men, and that like women are okay at soccer, like pretty basic comments. Like, so she gets even more hatred. There was one goal in particular that I just know was like a controller slamming rage quit, where Virgil van Dijk like tried to box out Megan Rapinoe, and she kind of like pushed back on him and was able to like fend him off, and then scored a goal perfectly into the upper 90 of the net. And just like, I didn't celebrate, I skipped the celebration, so it went to the kickoff, and like the ball kind of got kicked off, and then his player kind of freaked out a little bit, and then it disconnected.
And
so I'm pretty sure that guy slammed his controller.
In FIFA, do you still get like credit? Do you still get a dub if they quit mid-match?
If you're winning, then you get a dub.
Okay.
If it's tied, then you get nothing and they get a loss. And if you're losing, then you both get nothing. Or no, you get nothing and they get a loss too. So yeah, as long as you're winning at the time that they disconnect, then you get the win.
But
it kind of sucks because, yeah, there are times then where it's like 0-0 and you like get a penalty kick or something, which has a likely chance of you going up 1-0, and they quit before you can take the penalty kick, so that sure they get a loss, but you don't get the win and stuff like that.
Back when I had the Overwatch 2 monkey on my back, I remember that being a frustrating part of the competitive experience, because in that game, I think that it handled people quitting out really strangely. I don't remember the exact specifics of it, but I thought that it felt like I was being penalized for something I could not control. Or like, even if you were up by whatever measure, when like someone on the other team quit out and then the game ended, like that was just a wash. Like that didn't, hey, you especially wasted 5 minutes of your life just now. Like playing Overwatch 2, you're wasting moments of your life, but especially in this instance.
No, it's terrible, because there's a mode called Weekend League where you have to play 20 games in a weekend. And sometimes you'll go to like the 89th minute and you were dominating all game, but like you weren't putting your chances away and they got a lucky goal. So it's 2-1, and like there's only 1 minute left to go in the game and you're trying to hold on, and they score quickly, like on a lucky bullshit goal, and they know it, that they've been dominated all game. So it's 2-2. And rather than going to extra time where like their players are all going to be tired and they know that they're probably going to lose, they just leave. Because then they get the loss and then you don't get anything. And yeah, you spent 15 minutes of your life like trying to win this game, and it's just right back to the drawing table. And it's particularly rage inducing, that's for sure. But I don't have time to play that mode anymore, so I don't have that issue. I guess that's the best way. That's like safe sex.
A young man's game.
Best way to do it is just not to play.
All right. I think advocating for abstinence is how we end episode 246 of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast, which will almost certainly be titled, "Thanks to Spliffs, I Still Have My Health." If you like what you heard, like, comment, subscribe, etc. Check us out on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok for highlight clips. Actblue link in the description. Support us on Patreon and join the likes of Tiffany Cole and Sucky Badger. Follow us on Twitter at V2_podcast. Follow me, Lucas DeRuyter. Probably not on Twitter. If you've seen me doing anything on Twitter, know that is because I'm having a bad time. And this is an expression of my poor mental health in a given moment. But follow me on Blue Sky instead. And if you see me doing stuff on there, know that it is neutral mental health. There is no mental health alignment chart to me being on Blue Sky. But yeah, follow me on Blue Sky. Go on to Blue Sky. It's open now. And I get it. You might have a following. You might see more stuff on Twitter. But that is perpetuating an ecosystem that is growingly toxic and problematic and making some of the worst people in the world money. So yeah, getting on and off my soapbox again. But yeah, thank you all for listening. Have a great week, and hope spring is springing by you soon. Goodbye.